Good morning, this is Reverend Leslie here with your audio service for this weekend. And at St Martin's on Sunday morning, we will be having a special service which is called a Taizé service. And some of you may know what Taizé is, but for those of you who don't, it's a French community, Christian community, which is ecumenical, so it's of all different denominations, and the idea is that people get together, and often it's young people that really enjoy Taizé, and it's a way of being spiritual in Christian faith, of just sitting together, maybe listening to a reading, then listening to a chant or involving yourself in singing the chant, and then sitting in silence and being reflective with God. And so I'm going to try and give you the opportunity on this audio service to be able to experience Taizé. But if you are able to come along to our service on Sunday at 9:30, you would experience it in a different way because you'd be with others and you would be able to experience the candlelight as well. So maybe before you listen to this service, go and light a couple of candles and have those close by. And we're going to begin by listening to a reading. Then I am going to give a chant, sing a chant to you. And then there'll be some time of silence. And then we will then go into a next reading or a reflection. So I hope you enjoy this. So I'm going to start by lighting my candle here in my own home. There we go, the light is burning. Put that beside me. And then I'll open with our introduction of prayer. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Amen. So I'm going to read to you from Psalm 104. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There are ships that go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you form to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time, and when you give it to them, they gather it up, and when you hold your hands, they are satisfied. They're satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. And when you take away their breath, they die and they return to the dust. And when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. We're now going to go into a time of silence. Amen. So as we come out of that first time of silence and reflection, I'd like to read to you from John 1, 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one, the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord is my light and salvation. In God I trust, in God I trust. The Lord is my light. My light and salvation, in God I trust, in God I trust. The Lord is my light and salvation, In God I trust, in God I trust. The Lord is my light and salvation. In God I trust, in God I trust. The Lord is my light and salvation. In God I trust, in God I trust. The Lord is my light and salvation. In God I trust, in God I trust. The blessing of God giving new light. I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, in the middle of a dark forest, there lived a remarkable artist, and he was famous for miles around for being able to reproduce an exact likeness of a person without even having set eyes on them. Some men laughed when they told of the artist's ability, saying he must have a band of spies to inform him, but this was never proved. One day in winter, the king of that land heard about the artist and, being a curious and thoughtful man, decided to put the artist's power to a test. So he sent a messenger to the artist's hut in the forest and said, "The king, hearing of your supposed great gifts, requests you paint him a picture of God, and he will pay you any price that you ask if he is satisfied with the result." "For my own part," added the messenger, "I think the request is foolish, for nobody has seen God." The artist was silent for a moment before saying, "The king shall have his picture of God, and there will be no charge. Return in 1 month." So the messenger made his way back through the icy wood to the king, and the king was well pleased with the artist's reply. A month passed, and the streams in the forest thawed, and the sun shone weakly through the bare trees, and the messenger, much against his will, was sent to the artist for news about the picture. "The work isn't finished yet," said the artist. "Return in 2 weeks." This time the king was less pleased with the artist's reply, for he was impatient to see the picture. And after 2 weeks, the messenger returned yet again, and the journey was easier now that the bitterly cold weather was over, but the messenger still resented having to go. "The work is almost complete," said the artist with a smile. "It will be ready next week, but the king himself must come to collect it." And when the messenger told the king of the artist's demand, the king's anger was overcome only by his curiosity to see the picture and the artist who dared to make such an impudent demand. So the next week, the king, together with a small band of guards, made the journey to the artist's forest home. And although the sun was shining and the leaves beginning to unfurl, the king found the journey very tiresome. As the king approached the hut, the artist emerged carrying a large flat object wrapped in leaves and bound with twine from the forest creepers, and he fell on his knees saying, "Your Majesty, forgive me for asking you to come in person, but it's most important that you follow my instructions carefully. Go alone to the top of the highest hill overlooking the sea, and there remove the wrapping from the picture, and I promise you it will be well satisfied with what you see." The king politely thanked him and set out alone the very next day, for the highest hill overlooking the sea, and his heart was beating quickly as he climbed the last few steps. Without even stopping to breathe, the king began to unwrap the picture, cutting through the twine with his gold dagger. At last, the final piece of wrapping was off. But what was this? The king blinked. Perhaps the sun was too strong. It seemed to be shining so brightly. And he looked again, and the picture was nothing more than a sheet of glass. No wonder the artist didn't charge anything, thought the king bitterly. And then he became more curious and wondered if perhaps one had to hold it in a certain way before the picture would appear. So he tilted it towards the ground and looked very hard. What was there? He saw the extraordinary green of the grass, the exquisite colours and delicate shapes of the spring flowers, and the harder he looked, the more he could see. And the more beautiful it seemed to be, the tiny veins and shimmering colours of insect wings, the jewels of water drops caught on leaves where it had been raining. And then the king turned the glass out towards the sea and looked again, and he was enraptured by the light darting about on the waves in the distance and the white crests breaking on the shore below him. He turned, and then he turned the glass upwards, and there the warm gold of the sun and the cool blue of the sky seemed to stretch forever. The king gazed, full of wonder, at all that he saw. And when he had looked until he could look no more, he lowered the glass, smiling at the wisdom of the artist, and said, "Truly, I have seen a picture of God." Let us now spend a moment or two in silence again. One candle burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. One candle glowing light, the blessing of God giving new sight. Amen. We're now going to go into a short period of prayer. And between each prayer, I will sing another Taizé chant, which is asking God to hear our prayers. So let us pray. That all God's people may know themselves to be his beloved children and worship him in spirit and in truth. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. That the church may rediscover that unity which the fathers and for all us in him pray. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. That the nations of the earth would seek peace and understanding rather than selfish advantage. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. That in this new year, we would each have time and opportunity to learn more about what it means to acknowledge Christ as King in our own lives. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. And let us say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to read to you from the book of Colossians, or the letter Paul to the Colossians, reading from verse 15. The title of this passage is The Supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm now going to finish my reflection. We heard the story of the king and how he discovered that actually the image of God is planted around us in everything that we see. And our reading from Colossians today, when speaking of Jesus, begins with the words, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The reason why I chose to share the story of the artist with you, for if we want to truly see the picture of God, we need only to look at the person of Jesus. Jesus may have been born at the turn of the first century, but as Christ, he was there from the beginning of time, as both of our readings confirm. And from our reading in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We heard all of those words. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. And then from the Colossians reading, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. Both of these passages focus on the centrality and supremacy of Christ. And for Paul, St. Paul, there was an urgency in communicating to his fledgling church there in Colossus. They'd only been a church for about 5 years when he wrote to them. And that was more than they get to know and know about Jesus Christ, the more that they would understand who the true God is and what he's done, who they are as a result, and what it means to live in and for him. So when you have time to reflect on this today, it's worth taking time to go through Paul's word slowly, pondering the depths of meaning that are to be found in it. There is a famous theologian, some of you will be aware of, Tom Wright. If you don't know him, definitely worth reading some of his books. He's a great modern theologian. And he wrote this on the Colossian passage. Christianity isn't simply about a particular way of being religious. It isn't about a particular system for how to be saved here or hereafter. It isn't simply a different way of holiness. Christianity is about Jesus Christ. And this is what the Colossians needed to know. And we today need to rediscover this. Wonderful words. And going back to our story, the king's messenger was right. No one has ever seen God, but in Jesus, he has come near to us and become one of us. And in verse 14 of our passage from John's Gospel, we read that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the Message translation of the Bible, this becomes the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood, in our neighbourhood. Where is Jesus? In our neighbourhood. That close. And it's in Jesus that we find ourselves looking at the true God himself. And the more we look, the more we realise that the true God is the God of utter self-giving love. In a world that can sometimes feel very dark, the devastating impacts of climate change, war in the Middle East, Ukraine, conflicts all over the world, and where truth in society can be very hard to find, by entering into creation through the birth of Jesus, and particularly participating fully in his life, God confronts the darkness and the mess and shows himself as a God of love. John 1, of course, is a reading we traditionally have on Christmas Day, but it's a good passage to return to as we remind ourselves in this season that just who Jesus was and is to us today. He came into this world, a world that was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice that he'd arrived. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed that he was who he claimed and would do what he said. He gave the right to become children of God. It's there in Scripture. I don't know about you, but I love being called a child of God. I know who I am and whose I am. I love that God loved humankind so much that he sent his Son to earth to show us that love in person. But whether we choose to receive that love is down to each and every one of us. It is never forced upon us. It's a lavish and unconditional gift, and it is for every one of us. It was at the time of Jesus, and it still remains so today. We're simply invited to say yes. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, there at the very beginning and through whom all things were made. Thank you that he came into the world as a light to shine in the darkness. And in this time and in this season of our lives, help us to experience afresh the divine love that came down at Christmas and is forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're now going to go into another, maybe 1 minute of silence, reflecting on the words that I have spoken, on the readings that I have read to you. Just being present with God and knowing God is there for us. I'm now going to finish and close our act of worship with a final chant. Part of it is in Latin, but I'll sing the words in English as well. But I'll read them to you now. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Peoples, nations, alleluia. Laudate Dominum, Laudate Dominum, Omnes gentes, Alleluia. Laudate Dominum, Laudate Dominum, Omnes gentes, Alleluia. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Sing praise and bless the Lord, peoples, nations, alleluia. Sing praise and bless the Lord, sing praise and bless the Lord, peoples, nations, alleluia. Laudate Dominum, Laudate Dominum, Omnes gentes, alleluia. Laudate Dominum, Laudate Dominum, Omnes gentes, alleluia. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you always. Amen. And don't forget
to blow out your candle.